Welcome to the Pain-Free Athlete Podcast. I'm your host, Dana Jones. I am a certified personal trainer, and I'm here to help you achieve your fitness goals without pain. In each episode, I'll share tips and strategies that will help you stay safe and pain-free while you're working out. I'll also interview experts in the field of fitness and pain management. So if you're ready to learn how to stay active and pain-free, then subscribe to the Pain-Free Athlete Podcast today. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Pain-Free Athlete Podcast. I'm your host, Dana Jones. So it is spring here in California, and I'm getting super excited because spring and summer are my most favorite times of year, mostly because there's sunlight, which is always lovely, and the weather gets warm, and because I'm a teacher, then that means that I have a lot of time off, unpaid time off during the summer. But I get excited about it because I like it. Plus, I get to be outside and do exercise-y things outside instead of always doing them inside because it's cold and windy or rainy or something like that. Anyway, so I'm increasing my workout routines, and I'm getting excited, which is maybe my thing. Not everybody's excited about working out as much, but I like it. It's a part of who I am. I almost think it's a part of my DNA. So here's the deal, though. I've been trying to make it to the gym at least once a week because, you know, I'm paying for it. So I think that's probably a good deal. And at work, we started a wellness challenge. And so we're trying to get the kids to move their butts. And so we're taking them on walks 2 to 3 times a week. And as I'm walking more, I'm starting to get inspired. And I started thinking about it's time to start running. So I know in the past, I've talked about how running is, the devil. And obviously, I have a lot of emotional baggage when it comes to running. Just a quick review. Running was always used as a punishment for being late to practice, regardless of the sport I played, whether it was basketball, softball, or whatever. And as I was like thinking about it, I'm like, oh, damn, no wonder why I'm so super weird about being late, because I always used to get punished in the sports that I participated for being late with running. And so it crept into all parts of my life. And then, of course, you know, you have people are like, oh, if you're on time, you're late. So then I would always try to be, 15 minutes late or 15 minutes early, those kinds of things that got drilled into my head. But it's a weird reflection to kind of go back and go, yeah, that's why like being late has a thing for me. It was also used as a punishment in the Army, running, right, along with push-ups. And I guess, again, through reflection, I was like, one of the things or what started the migraines or this idea of neck tension leading to migraines was me doing push-ups. And I'm wondering if it's just essentially, these stored emotional weirdness that I have from being screamed at and told drop and give me whatever. And probably has nothing to do with the actual act of doing a push-up, and maybe the emotional stuff of like, oh, I only did these when I was in trouble. So who knows? Anyway, I obviously was inspired to run after reading the Slow AF Run Club by Martinez Evans. And so in the back of my mind, it's kind of been dancing there that I want to run. And I want to give it, the old college try and be more mindful about it and think about my history and trying to put myself in a position where I'm not running as punishment. I'm just trying to move my body because, there is a part of me that likes running. And, I'm not going to go run a marathon, but I would like to just be able to run a distance and not die. That would probably be fantastic. And what I have found out is that shit is hard. So I put barriers, a perimeter on me, just all the things. I've made sure that I stay within certain parameters when I'm running. And one of them is that I have to stay at a certain speed for at least a week. And then I can bump it up. And so, on the treadmill, that's very easy because you start and then you can go 3.1, 3.2, and do whatever. And the running at a slow speed is driving me bananas because I want progress now and I want to be done with it. So I don't want to run at 3 miles an hour, even though I know people that walk faster than that. I don't want to run at it because then that looks like I'm slow and I just want to run like the wind. And, you know, or as I always say, like get slapped in the forehead and, you know, find a 7 minute mile or a 5 minute mile or whatever the hell I am in terms of my fantasy brain. But so I'm really trying to make a conscious effort to keep it slow and actually allow my body to adapt to the increase in activity, which is intelligent, right? I mean, this is what I, you know, when I coach people, this is what I tell them to do. And I know that for me, I have a history of progressing too quickly. And then, of course, there's an injury or there's, you know, a belief that there's an injury. So then I have to stop. And of course, when you run faster than your body's capable of supporting you, then there's a lot of uncomfortability that is acquired, right? You know, oh, lungs burn, legs burn, you know, feet hurt, all the things. And for me, there's something about being uncomfortable that is a danger signal to my body, right? So of course I, you know, get the cramp and I'm like, holy shit, my leg is going to fall off. And so then I have to walk or, you know, whatever. And then I'm like, why am I out here and all this stuff. So I'm going to dip to a little aside because I thought it was very interesting and it felt like it was targeted toward me. So I am a Survivor fan. If you are watching Survivor and have not watched the latest episode that aired last night, May 1st, then, I don't know, skip ahead a few minutes or something like that and don't listen to me because I'm going to provide some spoilers. But anyway, all right. So hopefully they're safe and they either paused or hit advance. So I was watching Survivor last night. And we're down to where they're individually doing, you know, challenges because then it's one person that gets immunity and so on and so forth. If you're not familiar with the show, bear with me. I'll get to my point. So this one gentleman wins immunity and he wins like the challenge. And so the gift is Applebee's. And I have to tell you, they must have said Applebee's like 500 times last night. If we were playing a drinking game, people would be like on the ground unconscious. Because, I mean, I think Applebee's got their money's worth out of advertising last night. Anyway, so the winner gets Applebee's. And these people have been out there for a period of time. They haven't eaten. They're all starving. They're all losing a ton of weight. You know, the whole deal. So this is a good challenge to win because then you get to do it. And of course, in Survivor history, it's typically not you win, but then you get to pick somebody else, or you get to pick two people or three people or whatever. So this guy wins. And so he says, I'm picking so-and-so. And during the process, the lead into this challenge and everything else, there was this one woman who said, I love Applebee's. Every Wednesday night, my daughter and I sit down and we eat Applebee's and that's like our Survivor meal. And I always get, you know, the bourbon, whatever steak or, burger. And she has insane allergies. Like she's pretty much allergic to everything. So she's allergic to, fruit. She's allergic to coconut. And these are all the staples that people eat when they're on Survivor. And that's what kind of drives them, right? Gives them the minimum amount of calories. So they're not 100% in starvation mode, but you know, for the amount of weight that they drop, they're pretty starving. So she is like, she tries to win the challenge, but of course, because she has not eaten in, I don't know, probably 7 days or 8 days or something like that. Cause she literally can't eat anything and they're not doing anything else. Like they're not, it seems that they're not trying to find other things to eat. They're just laying around waiting for the Survivor, you know, team to feed them or, you know, offer them challenges with food or whatever. Anyway, so she makes this big stink about how she will Applebee's and this emotional connection to her daughter, and she hasn't eaten and everything else. And she's going on and on and on. And so then she's like, you know, pick me, you know, she starts crying and this guy is, you know, so he picks first person, he picks the second person, he picks the third person and, or he goes to pick the third person or he's got one more person to pick, sorry. And so he is debating and He probably debated, I don't know how long, because, you know, editing, but probably like 2 minutes. And then finally he's all, I picked so-and-so. And it wasn't the crazy person who wanted the Applebee's dinner because of all the emotional connections. And she freaking lost her mind. And she's like, I'm pissed and blah, blah, blah. And she's just like off the rails, screaming at him, doing whatever, right? You know, you screwed up my game and now you're depriving me of this food. Just the whole thing. And it was like, if you watch, you're laughing with me. If you haven't watched, I'm sure you can find it. I know it already popped up on People Magazine as a little video clip because it was pretty epic. And what he said was that, you know, I'm really sorry that you're, you know, having all these feelings and I've made my choice. And I was all, oh, damn, he's like sticking to his choice. Like, and you could tell, like, he kind of felt bad, but he had an agenda, and his agenda obviously was to save his own, you know, survivor life. And he was choosing people that he knew would support him or do whatever. And he wasn't going to pick her. And she was so mad and, you know, whatever. And later, you know, she's obviously still going on because they do like these little private interviews with them. And she's like, oh, you know, she's just mad that she didn't get her Applebee's. And this guy said, you know, for a living, I'm a boss and I have to fire people. And when they, you know, freak out and do all the things, you know, he's like, it is uncomfortable, but they're not doing their job. And there's a reason why, you know, they're losing their job, right? And I have to be okay with that. And later, you know, when they connected and, you know, they said, oh, you know, how are you feeling now that you haven't had this and, you know, all this other stuff. And, you know, and he said, it's okay for her to have her feelings. And it was so insightful. Like, so clearly this guy has done some work, right? Where he's like, I hear this, right? You know, that this person is freaking out. It's like, and I know that, you know, she's mad and I don't want to, you know, I don't want to, I guess, bend my will or bend my rules or whatever I have going on to make her happy. And, you know, I've talked about this before, is that, you know, as humans, we don't always like to witness people's uncomfortable behaviors. Right? If somebody's crying or if they're angry at something, you know, a lot of times we become very or incredibly codependent and want to stop that from happening, right? We want them to stop, you know, don't scream in the store, you know, all those things. And I feel like we cheat each other from having real emotional feelings. You know, it's like sometimes you are going to temper tantrum. You are going to do those things. And I think that it's healthy for you to have those feelings because then you get over it. And that was his thing, was that I'm sticking to what I'm doing. She's entitled to have those feelings. It didn't change my mind. And I'm really sorry she feels that way, but, you know, that's hers to deal with. And I was like, damn, that is fantastic. And I realized, bringing it back to me, is that I am like, I don't like the uncomfortable feelings, right? The uncomfortable feelings, whether it's pain, whether it's, you know, oxygen deprivation or whatever the hell I think is happening when I'm running or working out or whatever, those are uncomfortable feelings. And so I'm treating them like little children that are freaking out. I'm trying to stop them, right? Oh, I'm so sorry, honey. Don't, you know, don't be upset. Don't cry. Don't freak out, right? Here we go. I'm giving you what you want. And again, me doing that has created this pattern of not having uncomfortable feelings. Like the minute something gets uncomfortable, poop, okay, I'm done, you know, and that's not ideal, right? We want to have those feelings. It is okay to have those feelings. I mean, obviously I'm working on making sure I understand that those feelings are safe, right? You know, I can be sad and not die. Right? I can cry and not die. I can, you know, get a cramp in my side and be okay. And, but it's a battle, right? I'm going back and forth with this stuff. And what I realized is that there are physical things that are uncomfortable for me. And then probably what's worse is the mental uncomfortable, because it's in between my ears. And I don't have, I mean, I guess I could throw myself on the ground or do whatever, but I also don't want to embarrass myself. So a lot of times I just suffer in silence in my head. And, you know, it became apparent because last week I was on the treadmill and I was losing my mind. all of a sudden, I don't know what was going on. I don't know if I didn't have enough to eat or if it was just a day, right? I don't want to blame it on anything. I was just having a day. And the day said, you're fat. You shouldn't be on the treadmill. Why are you here? Look at those skinny people. You don't look like them. You're not a runner. What were you thinking? What are you thinking? And then, you know, and then I'm trying to stop it, right? Like, why are you thinking like that? Stop that. You know, be kind to yourself, and on and on and on. And so literally I'm on this treadmill and I'm, you know, and I'm doing intervals, which is amazing. So, you know, I'm like, when I'm running, I'm feeling like shit. When I'm walking, I'm like, you know, it's like this bipolar behavior on the treadmill between intervals. And so somehow it went away. And I don't know why or how it happened, but it maybe it was because I was answering the questions. You know, why are you here? Well, because this is what I chose to do. You know, yes, you're not at your ideal body shape, size, whatever. But, you know, I got some body dysmorphia, so I don't even know if I trust that, because there are times when I look back at pictures when I thought, oh, I'm fat, I'm not going to do, you know, I'm not going to show my body. And my body was fine. So that's going to be a really deep dive to kind of get to, you know, I'm never going to be the ideal body type, I guess, for me right now. And the work is going to be me shifting what the ideal body type is, or that there is no ideal body type. And if my ass is running, my ass is running, and I'm doing better than people who are just sitting on the couch or not working out at all or whatever I need to do to get right with it. Or maybe, you know, being a little bit bigger and running is actually inspirational to people who may walk in and go, oh, I can never do that. And then they see me running nice and slow and go, oh, well, maybe I can do that. So, you know, there's a lot, like I said, there's a lot going on. I don't have it figured out. I don't know when I'll have it figured out. I don't know if I'll ever have it figured out. But what I decided was that I made a commitment. I need to cut my shit, stop giving myself shit, and do the damn work. And if it's slow work, then it's slow work. And you're going to suffer through it. And the thing is that I'm creating a base so that the future discomfort is not there. And if I can logically put that together, then I should be all right. And yes, I know you're embarrassed. You feel uncomfortable. You're having all these feelings. And you only have a few minutes to go. So let's just get it done. And you can do some self-care after. And it was just weird, you know. And I hate that I fall victim to it. And in the past, I have fallen victim to it and then not returned, right? Because it was too much of a battle and it was mentally, emotionally exhausting. And I was like, nah, fuck this. I'm not going back. And you know, the committee, the gremlins, whoever's in my head, you know, they get really freaking loud. And what I realized is that the more that I keep going back, the more I retrain my brain, right? Because, you know, now I'm doing two things, right? So I'm retraining my brain about the pain signals, right? And working on calming myself and letting myself know I'm safe. And apparently I need to do it about my body image and about my ability to perform as an athlete. And I didn't think that that was a thing, but clearly it's a thing. So I'm going to keep coming back because I really, at this point, want to prove that I can run and not die. And, you know, as an athlete, you're going to have shit days because that's just the way it is, right? Nobody, if every day was a cupcake day or whatever, then, you know, what is it? Smooth waters make bad sailors, you know, bad captains or whatever, right? There are going to be days that are going to be rough. And that's when it's time for me to, like, retrain my brain, get deep in that neuroplasticity and say, you're going to be okay. And not let these sensations take over and not constantly bend to their will. Because it's not serving me, right? You know, like we need to get rid of the habits that do not serve us. And that habit of shitting on myself has never served me. And so that's something that I need to do, is that, you know, just remember that. But I also need to acknowledge the fact that it's, you know, little Dana running along and feeling like shit. And, you know, maybe big Dana needs to run next to her and go, you know, we're going to be okay. I can help you through this. And, you know, we'll see where we end up. Anyway, I want to thank you so much for listening, and I will catch you next time.